but I'm not feeling great. And I've had so many battles this week and this morning. Like, while I woke up at 5 a.m. to work on my message, and I'm almost done, and I said, great, I'm going to go, like, sleep for half an hour, and then I'll get up refreshed because I've been up all night. And then this thing, whatever you call it, tablet or whatever, just burned up or something. Like, it was completely destroyed, and I haven't saved my message or anything like that. But it came to a point where I was in my message, in a point where when God was telling me to talk about the kingdom that's extended until this point. And I, at that point, I was like, something special is going to happen today. So not because I'm speaking, but because God has something for us. So I want you to believe that today. I want you to believe that God wants you to leave this place with something. I want you to believe that today will be a changing point in your life. Not just talk, not just the empty promises, but this is His promise. So what I want to talk to you about today is this very bold statement that Virgin Mary made. Virgin Mary, is that the way? Okay, Virgin Mary made this statement that at that point she hasn't really seen. This was the first miracle. If you guys don't know about this miracle, this is when Jesus went to a wedding and they ran out of wine, and his mother told him that they ran out of wine, and she just made a statement to him like, they need something. They need help. Okay? And then she looks at the servants, and I'm not going to talk about this miracle, but I'm just giving you a background. And then she looks at the servants, and she makes this very, very bold statement that since I read it, I've been telling God, I want this. I want to do whatever you tell me. I want to have that relationship that whatever you speak, I will just do it without thinking twice. And if, you know, before I get into the message, there's a little introduction here. She said that to who? To the servants, to the people who are ready to serve, the people who will take whatever she says and actually, you know, go after it. Didn't say that to the crowd, didn't say that to the bride and groom, didn't say that. She said that to the servants, and the servants did exactly that. So before we get into the message, pray that God will operate that servant's heart in you today. Pray that God would just light up that portion of your life, that we are here to serve Him. We are here to reflect His glory. So whatever He says, we know something is amazing is going to happen. Have that faith that God is after something great in your life and the lives of those who are around you. Do you agree with me that God loves us all? Do you agree with me that God wants to bless us? Okay, do you agree with me that God wants to use us to bless others? So let's try to do what He tells us. Let's see how she became so bold and so amazing to say that statement without yet seeing any of His, you know, day-to-day miracles that He's performed when He started His ministry. First, she knew Him. She knew who Jesus is. I'm going to read a few verses that you probably read so many times before, but I will read it again for you. In Luke 1:30, it says, "But the angel said to her," to Mary, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus." Jesus means what? God saves. Okay? You call him Jesus, and he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The first thing that she had in her that I pray that everyone in this room would have as well is getting to know who God really is. Okay? God is not the one that we hear about in TV. It's not the one that we even hear about in certain churches or in certain sermons. God, to see God Himself, you have to know Him yourself. You have to get to know Him, and He has to give you that revelation to know who He is. He is God. Jesus is not just a prophet. Jesus is not someone who came and gave us some beautiful words and died on the cross for us. And God, Jesus is God. And God tried to deliver that message to His people so many times through prophets, through kings, even through animals. And they would not understand. So Jesus had to come Himself. Remember that owner of the vineyard when he kept sending one messenger after another, and the people who are in charge of the vineyard, they would not listen. he had to send his son, maybe they will listen. So Mary knew who Jesus is. So when I am pushing someone towards Jesus, when I'm telling someone about Jesus, when I am trying to work with Jesus, I know that I'm not just following anyone. I'm following the voice of God. So when he tells me something, that's the voice of God, the creator of heaven and earth, the one who made me, the one who created me. This is his voice. It gives me the boldness to say, do whatever he tells you. I'm not preaching today about the Jesus that will forgive me after I sin. I'm preaching about the Jesus that will keep me from sinning. I'm not preaching about the Jesus that I will praise after the storm. No, I'm preaching about the Jesus that will walk me through the storm. And it will give me the joy and peace during the storm. This is the Son of God, the Son of the Most High. Mary knew that. She had a revelation and she knew that. It's easy for her to say, do whatever he tells you. My wife is a great cook, right? And when people come over, I always say, just eat. Don't worry. You know, whenever we go to Thanksgiving or, you know, I ask first, who cooked that? And based on that, based on my knowledge of the cook, I eat. Based on her, is that a bad thing to say? My bad. Anyway, I've never asked about your food. So anyway, where I was going with that, I think that was not God. Anyway, no, but my point is, she knew who she was dealing with. She also knew how to connect with him. Listen to what the Bible said. The angel answered when she was saying, how can that be? I do not know a man. How can I have a baby? I don't have a husband. I've never knew a man. How can that ever happen? How can you create something out of nothing? How can you create this new nature? How can you create this new being out of me? And it doesn't work. You know, physically it doesn't work. There is no way. Listen to what the angel of God said. The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Lord, I pray for the Holy Spirit to come on us today. I pray that the Holy Spirit will connect us and will do what we have been trying to do for so many years. We've been trying to fix ourselves. We've been trying to give victory to ourselves. We've been trying to reborn ourselves to become better, and we keep falling. Attempt after another, and every time, the same exact result. But here is what can happen in your life and my life. Connect with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will connect with you. The Holy Spirit will be upon you. The Holy Spirit will bring forth this new nature. The Holy Spirit will bring up this new revelation in your life, that you will see life in a different way. You will see your body in a different way. You will see yourself in a different way. You will see your circumstances in a different way. You will see Jesus in a different way. Are you ready to connect with him? Because I am. I am so ready to connect. I am done with myself, guys. Seriously, I am so done with myself. I don't like me. I like me better with the Holy Spirit. I actually love me with the Holy Spirit. Anyway, I will stay away from that subject. But anyway, John 3, Jesus is talking to one of the Pharisees who is supposed to know, who is supposed to understand the word. He was supposed to, and Jesus is telling him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then Nicodemus replies to Jesus and says, how can a man be born again when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Okay, well, let's say that's possible. Let's say that's possible. What is going to come up? The same exact man. Same exact man. The solution for us isn't what we do with our bodies. The solution is what God does inside those bodies. The solution is that we are filled with the Holy Spirit. Just like Mary was able to carry Jesus to the whole world. Can I say this? We are able to carry Jesus to the whole world. Just like Mary was filled with the Holy Spirit, Virgin Mary was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she blessed the whole world, guess what? We can carry him to our work. We can carry him to our school. We can carry him to our playgrounds. Maybe not when our kids are playing. We can carry him everywhere we go if we let the Holy Spirit overshadow. But you know, I love that. Overshadow you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. That Holy Spirit will eliminate this version of you and will bring forth a new person. You know, behold, everything is what? New. The old things are gone. This is a new person standing in front of you. This is a new person that we're sending out to the world. And then she knew his purpose. So she knew who he is. She knew how to connect with him. And then she knew his purpose. What is his purpose? The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. That is his purpose. Her purpose is to come to seek that was lost. He is coming to reign over his people. He is coming to give that kingdom to everyone is welcome, but everyone who will say yes to that invitation, that is his purpose. He is coming to reign. He's not just coming to visit. Jesus is not coming to visit your home or life. He is coming to reign over your home and your life. If you accept this Jesus, one day you'll be hanging out with him. Not one day, could start today. You'll be hanging out with him and say, whatever you say. Whatever you say, I'm going to do. I'm not going to try to ask you after I try to fix it first. No, you're going to have the first take at this. You're going to have the first word on this. She knew that Jesus was Lord. when they were talking to Jesus about, why would you go to, what's his name, Zacchaeus, the little guy? When they were talking about him, I am so politically incorrect. Anyway, so when they were talking to him about him, and they're like, why would you go there? Why would you have dinner and hang out with sinners and tax collectors and all these people? He replies and says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. Knowing God is knowing that he wants us to know him. I don't know if that makes sense or not. But knowing God, he really is looking for us to know him. He is looking for us to know really who he is. He is looking for us to know what he can do in our life. He is looking for us to know the purpose that he came for. You know, we make the purpose of God just 3:16. For God so loved the world. Yeah, that's great. Jesus came and died for us. That's the beginning of our faith, right? But it's not just about forgiving the sin. It's about giving us the life that we can live for him. So whatever he tells us, we can do. But what happens if we don't know God? What happens if we stop knowing God? I'm going to read you two very scary verses that I hope will be scary. In Isaiah 5:10, therefore, my people have gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. Because they have no knowledge. Listen to this coming part. Their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. Because what? Because they stopped knowing God. They stopped having that relationship with God. They stopped going after him. They stopped proclaiming him king. They stopped going after the Holy Spirit, asking to be filled with the Holy Spirit and no longer living on my own. What happened to them? They went into captivities. Not only that, in Hosea 4, my people are what? Destroyed. Destroyed. Because for lack of knowledge as well. Because they have rejected knowledge. Rejected knowledge. God is inviting us to know him. God is inviting us to have a relationship with him. God is inviting us to explain. And if we don't understand, we can ask him, just like how the disciples asked him to explain himself. He can explain himself. Just come to know him. Just come to know him. And it's not going to end at church only. It's not going to end at Bible study only. It's going to have to be a relationship with him. It's going to have to be Jesus in your life. That's the way you know God. That's the way you can say, whatever you say, whatever you do, whatever you want me to do, just go ahead and say it. Not only she knew God, but she had a relationship with God. Listen to what John 14 says. If anyone loves me, He will keep my word, and my father will love him. And listen to this. And we will come to him and make our home with him. How long did he live? How long did Virgin Mary live with Jesus? 33 years? About 30 lived together, and then 3 that he went to the ministry. About 30 years. 30 years. It took her 30 years to say that. It took her 30 years to make that statement. And sometimes we feel like, if I come to church, I am ready to do once on Christmas, once on Easter, once maybe on Bible study, and if it's my birthday or someone invited me, and I'm ready to take on the world. I know Jesus now. It takes a lifetime to know Jesus. It's not something that happens one day. It's a continuous process that we go through. What did Paul say? He said, I might know him. Paul said that after many, many victories, after writing so many messages, after doing so many for the kingdom of God, and he's still looking to know God. He's still looking to have that relationship with God. God is promising today. God is promising, if you keep his word, if you want to have a relationship with him, he is knocking on the door. If you open that door, he is ready to come in, dine with you, and you with him. He wants a relationship. He wants a relationship. She lived with Jesus for 30 years. He is not looking for a bunch of rules and tasks and things that we do. No, he wants a relationship to have. I was talking to someone recently, and we got in a very heated conversation because of an issue, a very well-known issue. I won't mention it, but I refused to give my very profound theological opinion, even though at church with believers, I have no issues saying it, right? And this person was insisting that I would say yes or a no, okay? Insisting, because that person wanted to hear that God is harsh. That person, he wanted to interpret that God is after, you know, destroying people or killing people. So I said something very simple. You want me to give you rules and laws. And let me tell you 2 reasons I can't do that. Number 1, because I'm really bad at those. I tried and I failed. Matter of fact, not just me. We all tried to live by the law and we failed. Okay? Number 2, I am not a teacher, I'm a disciple. That's what I do, okay? So instead of giving you rules to live with, I'm going to give you a relationship, a person to have a relationship with. And why don't you ask him? Why don't you ask him yourself? You're not giving him a chance. You're not giving him a chance to know him, and he can answer your questions. You want those answers from me, but I'm not the one that's going to judge you at the end. You know, why don't you ask him yourself? I cannot give you rules and laws because I'm really bad at them too. I tried. I really tried. And it did not work. But since the day I had a relationship with him, things have been going much better. Ladies and gentlemen, God is asking for that relationship. He's not asking for those little checks. Okay, so today I prayed. Today I gave my tithes. Today I did not look at anyone. Today, I did not visit any bad sites. Today, I did not gossip. That's not what he's looking for. He is looking for a relationship with you and with me. He is looking to take us and let's start our day. Let's see who we're going to bless today. Let's see who we're going to talk today. Let's see who we're going to smile to today. Let's see who we're going to listen to today. Let's see who we're going to have a compassion for today. Let's see who we're going to pray for today. Let's see how we're going to do this. He's looking for a relationship. And Virgin Mary had that relationship. Had that relationship. She ate with him. She ate with him. She hung out with him. You know, they went to visit people together. They, you know, they stayed up late probably and, you know, talked and joked around. And, you know, she had a relationship with him. You know, the Bible might not see it, but I can see it in my heart. I can see it in my head that they had a good relation together. You know, we don't give her enough credit because the traditional church, you know, wanted to, you know, you treat Virgin Mary in a different way, and the non-traditional church, you know, very much avoided talking about Virgin Mary for some reason, even though that God said so much about her. But my point here is she had that relationship with him. You want to be able to do whatever he tells you? Have a relationship with him. Don't take him as someone who's giving you laws and rules, because laws and rules don't really work very well with us. They've tried it for so many years. She had a relationship with him, and then she trusted in him, not in the things he does. And I'm going to have to stop here for a second. Okay, we're staying here. We're not leaving. She trusted in him. As I mentioned earlier, this was the first miracle that Jesus does, like in front of people, like for people. How can you just say that? How can you say, whatever he tells you, just do it? Like, we can talk about it now, right? Because we heard it. We know it. But how can you talk about something you've never seen? Did you ever preach to her about this miracle? Did you ever talk? No, he didn't. Okay, did you ever talk to Abraham about if he actually sacrifices his son? The Bible says that Abraham was about to sacrifice his son, believing that God has the power to raise the dead, right? You and I can take this and accept it. Because we've heard about the story when Jesus saw that widow and her son just died, he raised him from the dead. So I believe that Jesus can raise the dead, right? I believe that Jesus can come to Lazarus, to the grave, and say, Lazarus, get out of the grave. Because I heard it, okay? I believed it. But these people have never, ever heard these stories before, but they still believed in something. See, they did not believe in what they saw. They believed in him who they saw. That's what Mary did. She just had complete trust in Jesus and said, just do what he tells you, even if she didn't see it. And what is that? That's called faith. Faith is what? Believing in the unseen. I didn't see it. I've never witnessed it before, but I still believe that he can do it. I don't know how it's going to be fixed. I just know who can fix it. I don't know how I'm going to get out of this one, but I know that someone is about to pull me out of this one. The same person who left the 99 sheep and came and looked for me is the same person who will look after me right now. You know, Virgin Mary did not have any experience in the day-to-day miracles that Jesus performed, but she had that miracle that happened 30 years ago. The miracle of Jesus being born in her life. My friends, let me tell you, today you don't need a miracle to fix your finances. Today you don't need a miracle to fix your health. Today you don't need a miracle to fix the things that are happening at home. Today you need a miracle to have Jesus born in your life. When you have that, you have Jesus. When you have Jesus, you have everything. I don't know how it's going to be fixed. I really have no idea, but I know it will. But let's focus on, I titled my message today for myself, is the miracle of life. This is the miracle of life. This is what she had. This is what Abraham had. This is what everyone who believed without seeing had. This is the joy that surpasses all, that the peace that surpasses all understanding means that I don't see it, Lord, but I see you. It's so easy to see him. It's so easy to have connection with him. It's so easy to have relationship with him. You know why? Because he's the one that's knocking right now. I used to, just still a few years ago, and this is being born and raised in the Middle East, I used to think that I was the one that was knocking on God's door, especially after I sinned. And I felt like I had to knock on the door for a while, and he had to wait. You sinned today. So I'm gonna let him wait a little bit longer. Totally Middle Eastern God, you know. So until I realized that he's not that Middle Eastern God that I thought of, he's actually the God, you know, that actually is knocking on my door, wanting that relationship with me. She trusted in him. Did Noah ever see rain like that? Did Noah ever see an ark like that? But he did build it. And he was saved. Because he trusted and he did whatever the Lord told him to do. Did Peter ever see anyone walk on water before? No, right? Did you ever walk on water? No. Brian? looks like you walked on water before, but did you ever walk? See, did he ever see anyone walk on water? But he did, because he thought he heard Jesus saying it, and he did it. And let me tell you, the same God who saved Noah and his family, the same God who saved Peter and made him do the impossible, is the same God that can take you today and make you do the impossible. I want you to bring whatever it is that you feel like impossible in your life right now. Just think of it, whatever it is. Seriously, take a moment. Think whatever it is that you feel like it's impossible. And say, Lord, I'm coming with my impossible to you. I'm coming with my impossible to you. But you've done it before. And you will do it again. Not you can do it again. Not you will do it again. Did you ever hear about big walls trembling because of people singing? Did you ever hear of that before? Did you ever see it? We can talk about it today because we heard about it. We believe in it, right? But Joshua did it. But he did what? He obeyed. He listened to what God told him to do. And what happened? It might sound crazy. It might sound so simple. It might sound that seriously, but it might be the one that God wants you to do. Because you need to have faith in Him, not on what you're doing. Faith in Him, not what how you know it's going to be fixed. Faith in Him, not even based on what other testimonies went. So when I hear a good testimony, I was like, great, I want the same one. No, it doesn't work that way. You know, it's going to work with you the way He sees fits in your life. I'm going to end soon. But she didn't just believe in that, but she believed in His abilities. And I'm going to stay here for a while too. So, I love this. The angel told her, His kingdom will never, what? End. And when we hear end, we hear what? Time. Like, you know, this is going to continue forever. But when I hear His kingdom will never end, I hear there is no end. So if I am in front of the grave, He is king in front of the grave just as much as He is king in the church. If I am here in debt, and if I am here having the worst thing, the worst situation in my life, if I'm in the hospital bed, wherever I am, His kingdom is there just as much as it is when I'm here sitting in the church or sitting in the prayer room or wherever I am. His kingdom is going to extend. No one can stop His kingdom from being extended. So I don't know where it is you are right now, but here's good news. The good news is His kingdom will be extended to your situation. His reign will be extended to your situation. His authority will be extended to your situation. There is no end to His kingdom. He is the one that puts an end to things, but things don't put end to Him. Amen? So, let me ask you a few questions, and I want to hear an answer from you. Seriously, I do want to hear an answer from you. And then I'll share a verse, and we'll close, hopefully. Did his kingdom end around death? No, I'm not convinced. So, did His kingdom end around death? No. So, nor His kingdom will end around any spiritual or physical death that you might face in your life. His kingdom is not going to stop there, just like it didn't stop back then. He's not going to stop right now. His kingdom will extend there. Let me ask you another question. Did His kingdom end during the waves and the storms and when the boat is about to drown? Did His kingdom end there? And let me tell you, whatever storms you're having today, His kingdom will be extended to that. If it's a financial storm, if it's a health storm, if it's a relationship storm, if whatever kind of storm you have, His kingdom will never end. His kingdom will be extended to that situation. Let me ask you another question. Did His kingdom end in front of the demon-possessed men and women that He saw? Only 3 or 4 of you said no. Seriously. Five. Did His kingdom end when He faced the demon-possessed men and women? So why do we think that His kingdom can end right now when we have all this warfare against us? Why do we think that His kingdom is not gonna be victorious over the attack that you have on your life from the enemy? His kingdom is not gonna end there. Do you believe that there is a God? But do you believe that there is an enemy that's always attacking us? His kingdom is not going to end with that attack. Matter of fact, just like he set people free back then, he will set you free today and right now. Because his kingdom is what? Has no end. His kingdom has no end. I want you to dwell on this today. I want you to dwell on this and take it home with you. I want you to dwell on this and go tell your friends. I want you to dwell on this and take it to your family members and tell them his kingdom will be extended to you. Just like Jesus went, and that man that was filled with demons, just he went and he set him free, you can do that too by extending his kingdom. His kingdom will never end. This is a tough one. Did his kingdom end when he was nailed to the cross? This side didn't say anything. Did it end? Joy didn't say anything. Did you? All right. So did his kingdom end when he was at the cross? He was still in authority when he was on the cross. He was still doing work when he was on the cross. And you know what? His kingdom will not end when you're trying to crucify yourself. Matter of fact, he will raise a new you. Matter of fact, this is when his work begins in your life. When you decide that I no longer live, but Jesus or Christ lives in me. Did his kingdom end when they put him in the grave and sealed him? When sealed it? Joy? Okay, I'm watching you. So his kingdom didn't end in that grave. And whatever your grave is, whatever my grave is, his kingdom doesn't end there. And there is a seal. There is a seal. That seal is broken. Philip, a few weeks ago, preached about the contract, right? Or the covenant that was broken. You know, if there is a seal that the enemy stamped on your life, in Jesus' name, it's broken today. In Jesus' name, that seal will vanish. In Jesus' name, that seal has no more power or authority over your life. In Jesus' name, you will come out of that grave victorious. In Jesus' name, you will come out of that situation victorious, because that seal doesn't mean anything, because his kingdom is over that seal. And the seal of the kingdom is much stronger, much more powerful than any seal that the enemy or the society or anyone put on your life. That seal is broken today in Jesus' name. Can you say that? The seal is broken. The seal is broken. The seal is broken. Amen. Amen. Even if it's the Roman seal. His kingdom did not end 2,000 years from the day he said his kingdom would not end. Here we are 2,000 years later talking about his kingdom. Here we are 2,000 years later doing exactly what he told us we will be doing. Here we are. His promise did not end, and his kingdom is not limited by time, is not limited by situation, is not limited by culture, is not limited. How many cultures here? How many cultures and races and, you know, so many, you know? So many of us. It does not end it. We're here worshiping as sons and daughters of the loving and living God. His kingdom did not end. So, if I take this Jesus with me, do you think it will be easy for me to say whatever you say? Whatever you say, I'll do. Again, I'm going to repeat myself again. I'm not preaching about a Jesus that we go to after we sin. I'm not preaching about a Jesus that can take me and make life beautiful for me. I'm preaching about a Jesus that will walk through this life day after day with me. That's the Jesus I love. That's the Jesus I want. That's the Jesus I trust in. That's the Jesus I want him to reign over my life. I've tried everything else. And it did not work. But when I tried this, let me tell you, I cannot get enough. Let's pray. It's not too late to come to know God. And if you're confused, and if you don't know how to know him, ask him. you've tried before, ask him. Tell him, I want to know the real you. The real you, not the God that you heard about, not the God that media and society makes him out to be. Not even the God that you hear about at church, but the God that wants to reveal himself, excuse me, in his own way to you. Do you want to know him as a father? Do you want to know him as a shepherd? Do you want to know him as a savior? Do you want to know him as a leader? Do you want to know him as a warrior? Do you want to know him as an architect that can redesign your life? What do you want to know him as? Just talk to him and get to know him. And when you get to know him, have a relationship with him. Talk to him. He's not interested in giving you rules and laws. He's interested to have a relationship with you. Trust in him, not in the things he does. Trust in him even if you haven't seen anything. Let me tell you, it's coming. It's coming in a much better way than you ever thought. The Bible said that he who will do exceedingly, abundantly, above all. I mean, that three confirmations there. Exceedingly, abundantly, and above all what you can think or imagine. Have a relationship with him and you will see. Ask him for the miracle of life today. Not the miracle of health or money or things. Ask him for the miracle of life. He would like to extend his kingdom over your life and over my life. He wants to extend his kingdom in your life and through your life. Would you give him the chance? A lot of hurting people in your neighborhood, a lot of hurting people in your family, a lot of people need a touch from Jesus. Would you be that hand for him? And if your family, your own family, your own life needs that touch, he is here to touch. He is here to bless. He is here to extend his kingdom, to remove and to revoke every seal on your life. Every demonic force that's been enslaving you for years, every chain, every habit, every sickness, every disease, everything, he can change it. He is ready to give you a brand new version of who you are. The version that he thought of when he gave you to this earth, to bless this earth with you. He let you come to this earth to be a blessing. Don't believe whatever anyone else says. You are a blessing in this earth. You are a blessing in this world. You are a blessing. Come back to the Creator and see what He can do. Come back to the Creator and extend His kingdom through your life and on your life.